Thank you. Please be seated. It's a great honor, a great privilege to be here this morning before you. And also, this is, I think, the first time I've ever taught a live teaching in front of my own mother. Who, for many of you, may or may not know the story. I met her for the first time when I was 54 years old. It's quite a story. I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but one of the first things that my mom said to a lady that who was actually doing sort of the searching and the finding, is she said, "I wish my dad was here to see this moment, because he prayed for that baby every day of his life." My grandfather was a congregational minister, Church of Christ, for his entire life, which I didn't know until I was 54 years old. Can you imagine what that did to my heart? Find out that through my sort of genealogical heritage, spiritually, some wonderful things were happening. I also have a brother who's a Baptist minister in Indiana. Wes is very involved in his church in, I guess, where is the church? Derby? Hayesville, Kansas. He's quite a singer, and I'm trying to get him to post some of their videos on YouTube. He sings in an a cappella quartet that does Southern gospel called Close to Home. Yeah, so I tried to reshare it. Maybe some of you saw it. They did this incredible performance of Beulah Land. Oh, man, it was absolutely amazing. But I have to be able to get him to ask the person who actually filmed. That's the way it is with Facebook. The person who filmed it kind of owns the rights to it, so then they have to download it. I can't really do that, at least not that I know of. So anyway, I'm so blessed to have them here, and we've been doing a lot of things. Yesterday we went on a Segway tour. Wes and Shelley and I did a private tour with a guide downtown San Diego, and we've been to a number of different places, done a number of different things. We're just enjoying the heck out of each other, and still got a few days to go. So that's a blessing. Well, this morning I'm going to share on four words, actually. Trust, delight, commit, and rest. Those four words are what I'm going to share on today. And you'll find all of those words in that same chronological order in Psalm 37. And I guess I put my own four words to it, because I'm calling this teaching God's Way of Peace. It's interesting, in Psalm 37, at the very beginning, there's these words, kind of old English words, but it says, don't fret, fret not. Anybody know what that word fret really kind of means? It says, don't worry. Quit worrying. Have you figured that in our culture, worry and anxiety and stress and a number of these other things play very heavily into a lot of people's lives? It's not really something God is into. And matter of fact, you know, Jesus even said in the Gospels, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, over and over and over again. And yet, you know, many people have even physical afflictions as a result of the stress and the anxiety and the worry. You know what I'm talking about. You know people. Maybe that person is you or has been you. Or maybe you're going through something right now that's really causing a lot of anxiety and stress. Well, I'm here to tell you that there are answers for that. There really are answers. But before we delve into this, I've read something, and especially Jeffrey will get a kick out of this, and he may correct me after this teaching, but anyway, whatever. I just wanted to read it to you. It says, the Holy Spirit is to us what the control tower is to the airline. To see what we cannot and to give us information based on his knowledge that provides us with insight not attainable through onboard instruments alone. Think about that. Now, he flies by instrument control and visual control. they have a whole verbiage and language and everything, which I know very, very little about. But I get this point. Like, because you're flying up there in outer space and you're on this little radio and you're talking to someone, someone's actually answering, right? And they could be hundreds of miles away, right? And could be, I mean, what's the range of a radio in the air? Yeah, okay, so you're talking to someone you can't see. It's an invisible reality out there somewhere. But yet you have confidence in the fact that they're going to speak back to you and give you some sort of instruction, especially if it's turbulent and snowy or rainy. You know, you hope it's not like that. But think about that analogy. The Holy Spirit is to us what the control tower is to the airline pilot. To see what we cannot and to give us information based on his knowledge that provides us with insight not obtainable through onboard instruments alone. I want to ask you to do something here as this teaching sort of progresses. Because in James chapter 1, you're familiar with a verse of scripture that says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, why is there kind of a knee-jerk response to why I put your arm up? If any of you lack wisdom, it says, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, right? And upbraideth not. That's an interesting old English word. Here's my, if you choose to do this, at this moment, it's very simple, you know, to ask God for wisdom. You know what it sounds like? Father, please give me wisdom. It's not that difficult of a question, really. So, as I'm teaching, I encourage you in your own silent way to ask that question. For God to enlighten your understanding, to give you insight, and for him to energize the spirit within you. Receive direction from the control tower. He's got the greatest perspective. You know what that is, wisdom? It's the heavenly perspective. It's seeing things from God's perspective. See? Psalm 37. Father, give me wisdom. You know how many times I've said that this week? Countless times. Countless times. I say it every day, more than one time a day. I need to reinforce that in my own mind. I need wisdom more than once a day. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, you could just be bouncing around. It's just learning how to maintain that contact point, because we get so, you know, inundated and focused on all these things. And it's like, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to see my way through it. So God says, don't worry. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Here's number one. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. To trust, to confide in, to place your hope in something or someone confidently and securely without fear. You know, we can trust God with an unquestioning heart because he has proven his trustworthiness over and over and over again. It's on us. It's on our free will to choose, to decide, to give it up, and confide in him fearlessly. It's on us to make that choice. Look at this. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, we say, Lord, I can't wait to see how you do this. See? It takes the focus off of you. Father, give me wisdom. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But man, I'm excited. I can't wait to see how you're going to do this. How you're going to pull this off. See? You know the literal of this verse? Quit worrying and depend on God. He'll take care of you. Very simple. Delight. Next slide, please. It means to take pleasure in a high degree of enjoyment, joyful exuberance, like a little child on Christmas morning. Oh my gosh. It's on us to choose, to decide, to enjoy the life you have and to be joyful with a merry heart. You mean it just doesn't happen automatically? You choose to decide. How about this? I am going to enjoy my life. Because unless you make a conscious decision and confession about that, guess what? You probably won't be enjoying your life because circumstances will control you and dominate you and really affect you. Listen to this. To love God does not mean to meet His needs, but rather to delight in Him and to be captivated by His glorious power and grace, and to value Him above all other things on earth. All of the rest of the commandments are the kinds of things that we will do from our hearts if our hearts are truly delighted with and resting in the glory of God's grace. Wow. George Mueller wrote this book, right? Delighted in God. Just having this childlike faith. Ever been around the Christmas tree at the holidays? And even if you don't have kids, you've seen other kids. What they go through when they're opening presents, they're just so, like, delighted, right? Yeah. Literal translation of this verse, simply enjoy God and you'll be blessed. Quit worrying, depend on God, He'll take care of you. And simply enjoy God, you'll be blessed. Next slide, please. So, trust in the Lord, verse 3, do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto Him, unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Literally, in the center margin of your Bible, you'll notice in the King James Version, it says, roll thy way upon the Lord. Kind of a neat way to think about it. Roll the burdens of your heart upon the Lord. To devolve oneself or way to God. To entrust, especially for safekeeping. Oh, here it is again. It is on us to choose, to decide, to take our hands off of it. And to put it in His hands. Fully dedicating it to Him. And looking to heaven for the divine path. Isn't that exactly what this says? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. See? Wow. Roll thy way upon the Lord. Martin Luther. I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Oh my gosh. All we have is God's anyway. So somehow if we feel like our ego and pride is inflated as a result of, I have got the smarts to get all. Seriously? One of the great truths about abundant sharing is recognizing God as the source of the supply of everything that we've got. We don't own all this stuff. We're just taking care of it. You know? So, really interesting. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The literal of this verse, take your hands off of it, let it go, and watch God. Take your hands off of it, let go, let God, and watch what happens. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, here's a good one. Rest. Rest in the Lord. You notice every one of those verses says, trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now this one says, verse 7, rest in the Lord. Next slide, please. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Same thing, center margin here, it says, be silent. to the Lord. To wait for, to cease, to stand still, to wait with silent patience and submission. To have relief from troubles or freedom, especially troubles of exertion or exertion. It means to have a moment of stillness and calm in which we can enjoy contentment. Why do you think they sell comfort food? Huh? To make people feel good. Have a little bit of comfort in their heart. Charles Spurgeon, rest time is not waste time. It is economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furlough. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. Fascinating, huh? Scurry here, scurry there, email, text, phone, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. The to-do list just keeps growing and growing and growing, and the things of God just get squeezed out. The cares of this life just more and more and when did this guy live? Like in the 1800s, probably? Martin Luther saying all these like really amazing things. You know, when you rest, you're not wasting time. You're actually benefiting yourself. You're actually getting sometimes more done. See? Because when you're peaceful in your heart, then the things you put your mind to really do make an impact. Really make an effect. Literal of that? Quit trying so darn hard and relax. See, we try and work, and then on our day off, you know what we do? Work. Because, boy, we don't ever want to be considered to not be doing something because we might be considered to be lazy or wasting time. Really? I don't know. Quit trying so hard. Relax. Oh, and verse 8 is a good one, too. I didn't put that on the list. You can make your own list. Verse 8, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not. Boy, God is just hammering home the point here, isn't he? Over and over and over and over, he mentions this. Fret not. Quit worrying. Stop being anxious. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, then the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? Peace. Four words. Trust, delight, commit, rest. That's God's formula. That's God's plan. See? We can come up with all the plans and thoughts and whatever it is we want. So I guess we're faced with a choice. We do it our way, which I guess you have to determine if that's working for you. Okay? And if you're getting the kind of results and the fruit in your life that is really genuinely blessing you and bringing into your life and outflowing from you the qualities that you see represented in the Bible, then I guess you got something going on. You probably ought to start a seminar. You know, you'll be the next Dale Carnegie. You know, the Bible has the steps. This is God's way. We're into what we're into is God's way. You know, we aren't really looking for another way. We want God's way. See, we want the best way to make our lives the most productive and give us the greatest intimacy. You see, with God. Four words. Trust, delight, commit, rest. So I'll read all those literals together. These are my literals, so God forgive me. Quit worrying and depend on God. He'll take care of you. Simply enjoy God and you'll be blessed. Take your hands off of it. Let go, let God, and watch what happens. Finally, quit trying so hard. Relax. Enjoy your life. I don't know if you've noticed, life is brief. It's fragile. And so you might as well just take the time to enjoy your life right here, right now, today. And just make up your mind, I'm going to enjoy my life. should be the first thing you say when you get out of bed in the morning. You know what, devil? You have tried to rob and steal and destroy the joy in my life, and I am so done with it. You know what? I'm going to enjoy my life. And you can take all your lies and everything else right back to wherever it is you came from, because God has blessed me in such an amazing, incredible way through His grace. It's not about me. It's about what Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary 2,000 years ago, and we are here today living proof of it because of His grace. Amen with that?
Amen.
Yeah. So, in closing, I wanted to share this somewhat familiar, small poem. You'll maybe remember it. It says, one ship drives east, and another drives west. With the self-same winds that blow, 'tis the set of the sails and not the gales, which tells us the way to go. Like the winds of the sea are the ways of men, as we voyage along through life. 'Tis the set of a soul that decides its goal, not the calm or the strife. Every one of those categories, trust, delight, commit, rest, you choose to decide. Just like this says. It's the set of the soul that decides the goal. Not the calm, not the strife. It's us. How do we relate to what God has already given to us? Father, give me wisdom. See? We don't want to leave Him out of it. See? That's what my heart to share today. God's way of peace, okay? Amen. Father, thank you for your loving grace. Thank you for being so amazingly kind and tender-hearted and forgiving and love-suffering and all the things that you are, Lord. And help us to have great wisdom today, Father, in this moment, the next moment, the moment after that, and all the moments to follow after that, that our lives can be a witness and a testimony of your goodness and loving grace. And we pray for each and every heart and soul that's here. Thank you, Father, for healing wholeness through the work of Jesus Christ. And that we can just have joy in our lives and bring that joy to all those that we come in contact with. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.